come to church today. Any of you guys ever been excited to come to church? Raise your hand, everybody. Okay, good. All right. I was worried there. I love coming to church because I love learning about the Word of God. And here we're talking about love today. What a great topic. I know that Brother Phil preached a sermon on love one time around Valentine's Day. I wasn't here for that yet, but I know he did. And here we are in the fourth week of Advent. And we've been talking about the arrival of somebody important. And that someone important was Jesus, right? Our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. See, we're waiting a second Advent, I would like to say. Because he's coming again. No one knows when he's coming again. And Jesus said in Mark, don't worry about the signs of the times. Don't worry about when I'm coming back. Go and proclaim the gospel. That's what he said, because he's coming again. I wanted to give you guys a brief recap or an overview of what we have been looked at over the last several weeks. But today, real quick before I recap, I wanted to talk about the wreath. The wreath that holds the candles for Advent. It's circular in shape. And that symbolizes God's infinite love for us. It's never ending. It just continues to go around and around. Infinite. When a husband or wife get married, right, they put a ring on their spouse's finger to symbolize the token of their love for the rest of their life. Their love goes around and around. It's never ending. Just like the true light of the world, Jesus, who leads us into eternal life with him. The materials of Advent wreath similarly lead us to reflect on the everlasting nature of God traditionally. Advent wreaths have been made of evergreen leaves, such as pine or fir, which maintain their green color beyond the season in which they are collected. Nowadays, people use plastic things and, you know, stuff like that to symbolize the Advent wreath. And plastic, we know, lasts forever. I mean, you know. So if you want a good symbol of infinite love, just look at the plastic, you know, a ring, right? Unless this is rubber, so it could be cut in half. But on a gold or silver ring, on a wedding band, unless if you melt it down, it doesn't go anywhere, right? It lasts forever. Week one, right? To recap, week one was hope. The prophecy, which is the purple candle. We sang, Come thou long expected Jesus. And we read Isaiah 9, 1 through 2. Week 2 was peace. And we talked, it was the Bethlehem, right? Purple candle. We sang, O little town of Bethlehem. And we read John 14, 27 and Isaiah 9, 6. Week 3 was the joy of the shepherd's pink candle. And we sang, Joy to the world. And we were at Deuteronomy 28:47. Today we are in week 4, which is love, also known as the angel's candle. And we're going to be looking at Psalms 139. And that will be our main text today. We know that we come together as fellowship of the saints for one purpose, to lift our praises to God and to share in his word. He wants to spend time with us. So today I want to share with you how God knows us infinite, forever. He knows us before he even created us. He wants to be our God in Exodus. And then Jesus came to dwell among us, John 1:14. So let me pray before we go and read God's word. And then we'll read the word together. God, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you so much for Psalms. God, thank you so much for the picture of Advent, the circular wreath, because your love never ends. It goes around and around. God, I just ask as we read your word that people will be able to hear your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, there's my 3 points for you all. God knows us, Psalms 139. He wants to be our God, Exodus 29, 44 through 46. And Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1, 14. So we're going to read Psalms 139. It's page 521 in my Bible, also in the blue Bible in front of you. If you don't have an ESV version, I don't know what the page number is. I can't help you. This is just so awesome. Oh, Lord, oh, wait, I hear some pages turning. Are we good? Thumbs up? All right. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, and you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. That part, what does that sound like there? What other psalm? Psalm 23, right? He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, right? Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall come over me, or shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even in the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. I'm going to stop there. You guys can read 16 through 24 on your own. But we get the idea of God's love here. Nothing inside of us can be hidden from God. God knows us, right? He knew that when I was going to be born, that I was going to come out and I was going to be bald. And then I was going to have blonde hair. And then I was going to turn brown. And then I was going to be bald again. He knew that. He knew that one day I would be able to proclaim the gospel. He would call me to proclaim the gospel. He knew that before I was even born. He's called every single one of us to proclaim the gospel. He knew that. There's just something about the picture of love and God knowing us to the nth degree. He knit us together in the womb, perfectly and wonderfully made. What a representation of love. King David understood that he couldn't hide anything from God, right? And David was bringing that out in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. God knows everything about us and everything we do. So, folks, I'm going to even tell you, even your thoughts that you have inside you, your head, the ones that are not good, God knows. And sometimes those thoughts can get you into trouble. I have, on more than one occasion, had to stop thinking. I said, God, please tell my brain to stop, because it has just gone off the radar. Because God knows me. He knows every thought, right? He searched my heart. So then I go to Psalms 51, and I say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Lead me in those transgressions, so that when I learn, I can teach others. And that last part is paraphrased. Because God knows us, and he wants us to love him like he loves us. He knows everything we do. When people begin to date, they learn about each other. There is a process that takes place. Dating, you learn about each other a little bit each time you have a date. Then there's an engagement, and you learn a little bit more, right? Then you get married, and you find out all the bad habits of your spouse, right? And then you think, oh boy, buyer's remorse, right? My poor wife, you could probably ask her if she could return to center, she would. But my parents said there's no return this time. The point there is you build on your love, right? You don't come on the first date and immediately fall in love. Some people have love at first sight. But it's a building process. But you know what? God loved us at the first sight. Now, I don't want to cause confusion here, because God hates sin. And God cannot look at sin. And because God could not look at sin, he had to send his son to die to be the propitiation for our sin. Right? But God loved us enough to send his son to die so that we could have a relationship with him. So I wanted to make sure I'm very clear on this. When I say God loves us, he does love us. But those who don't know him on a personal level, who have not accepted his son, we don't have that relationship with God yet. Yet being the key word. Each day that you wake up and you get another fresher breath air, the very breath of God in your lungs, that's love. That's another opportunity to serve God. When we follow Jesus, it's a lifelong journey of getting to know God. God wants us to have a relationship. It's a lifelong journey to getting to know God, right? We read our Bible every day, and it's his word to us, and we learn, right? I mean, it has been phenomenal learning in Bible study about the book of Mark, how Jesus healed people, even when he didn't want to heal people. He said, I came to heal the Jew, right? But Lord, you can heal me. And he had compassion. He healed that person. Go back and look at it in the book of Mark. It's a lifelong journey. God wants to have a relationship with us. If he didn't, why would he show the best example of love by sending his son to be born to be the savior of the world? Why would God send his son, which is the best representation of love, to be born the savior of the world if God did not love us? David is saying to God, search my heart. And then again, I mentioned this, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, right? Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. That is love. God shows us our weaknesses, and we repent and grow. You see, I can tell you that my wife will tell me when I'm in the wrong. My wife will tell me, hey, that was too harsh on the kids, or hey, you're working too much, or hey, you could do better here. But she also tells me, you did a really good job here. You did a great job here. I love you, right? She would tell me that a lot. So she doesn't just point out my faults. But when she does point out my faults and my goodnesses, when she points out the things that I do well and the things that I do not so well, it's because she loves me. When you go and ask God to renew a right spirit within you and to reveal the sins that you have committed to him, that's a love act. Because he wants to have a relationship with you. So you then learn things about yourself that may have break your heart, but then you can ask for forgiveness and it's nailed to the cross. And then you can move forward. Isn't that a great representation of love? Right? I mean, circular, right? It just keeps going around and around and around. And you just, it's a long, lifelong journey. And I also want to tell you guys, we can't hide anything from God. Man looks at the outward stuff, right? But God looks at man's heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. I'm going to go there real quick. 1 Samuel 16:7. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at on his appearance or on the height of his stature." I love this verse. Don't look at his height. "Because I have rejected him, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." What's on your heart today? Oh, man. What's on your heart today? What's on your heart last week? It's Christmas, right? Sometimes we really struggle with Christmas because we feel like people's attitudes are all about the wrong thing. But I have to be careful what's on my heart because I don't want it to affect my relationship with God. And I want to be able to love everybody, right? I want to be able to love everybody. God wants to be our God. Now, this is in Exodus 29:44-46. My next point is God, he wants to be our God. So God knows us, and he looks at our heart. He wants to be our God. Now, I'm not going to take this out of context, so I'm trying to set this up for you guys. This passage was when God came down. When Moses came down, he was going to present the laws to the Israelites because they had just exited out of Egypt. And God was telling them, you know, what his expectations were. Exodus 29:44-46 says this. I'll start in verse 43. "There I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel, and they will be and will be their God. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." All right. So God wants to be our... God was talking to the Israelites here in this passage. This is the great exit out of Egypt. I wanted to make sure we kept this in context of Scripture, But we know that God wanted to be our God because salvation was being preached to the Gentiles and they were being saved in the New Testament. Romans 5:8, God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I take that as God wants to be our God. God wants to be our God. He doesn't want us to perish, right? We just said it today in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. People get that. I think they miss that. You have to believe in God. You have to believe in Jesus. You have to. Not everybody gets a get out of jail free card without believing. We have to put our trust in Jesus. We have to. Hell is a real place. Jesus talked more about hell than heaven in Matthew. Every other chapter, it seemed like I was reading the other day in Matthew, it was, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be a great fire, unquenchable fire, right? There will be Satan and his demons, right? Locked up, burning forever and ever. And that wasn't meant for us as human beings. That wasn't meant for us as human beings. This whole Christmas season, right, we talked about hope. The hope is Jesus. We talked about peace. That peace is Jesus, right? We're talking about love. That love is Jesus. That love is Jesus. And God wants to be our God. And that's how he becomes our God, by believing in his Son. If you all go to John 1:14, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Jesus came and lived a human life, experiencing temptation. He was homeless. He was rejected by his family. He was rejected by the Jews. He was falsely accused, and he was put to death. Falsely. But he did all that to become the Savior of the world. He came so that we can have that relationship with God. All you have to do is surrender your life to Jesus. And then you become part of the circle of the love of God. You get on the inside of the circle. When I surrendered my life to Jesus, before I surrendered fully, before I really said, okay, God, all of my heart is yours, I was living like the Bible described, wicked, vile, hateful. I was so angry with the Iraqis. I used to say, bomb them all. I did. It's terrible, I know. I've also prayed, now that I've accepted Jesus, I pray for our missionaries that are over in Iraq, sharing the gospel with those Iraqi locals. I'm no longer saying, bomb them. I'm saying, love them. Share the gospel with them. Let them come and know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Their mentality is an inherited mentality. It's not necessarily their fault that they are the way they are. How do you stop the abuse cycle of a child? Right? I experienced that too. And I knew that I did not want to be an abuser to my kids. So that was a training, right? I went through training, foster care training, and they taught you what to do if you were getting mad at your kid so you don't take it out on them. Sarah and I developed a little bit of a routine so that way if one of us was getting tired, they could exit the room and the other one could take over and deal with whatever kid we had at that time, because we had 14 foster kids. So they were experiencing a lot of anguish, a lot of hurt, right? They were feeling rejected, and we were trying to be the Jesus in their life. We wanted them to come to know the love of God. Were we successful? I don't know. Were we perfect? Absolutely not. But did we love them to the best of our ability? Absolutely. But you know who loves you the best and is perfect at it? Jesus. And that's the person I want you guys to come to know if you don't know him. Surrender your life. And I promise you it'll be the best thing you've ever done. So in conclusion of week 4, as we have looked back on the last several weeks of Advent, it's a reminder of how great our God is and that you can have a real relationship with a loving God. Don't let your heart be hardened. Come to Jesus who saves us, right? Jesus saves, Jeremy Camp. Shout it out, right? Every rooftop. Go on the rooftop and shout it out that Jesus saves, right? Kingdom seekers, right? Matthew 6:33. Right, Aaron? Don't let your heart be hardened. Come to Jesus. Don't let today be the day you walk out of here and not come to know Jesus. Romans 3:23 says this. Give me a second. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift. Another representation of God's love. It's a gift. It's a free gift. We don't have to buy it. We can't earn it. It's a gift. We just have to accept it. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Right? We come to know Jesus. We are washed as white as snow. So yes, Matthew, I will pray for a white Christmas. I will pray that people this Christmas get washed as white as snow. They'll walk away from their sin. They'll come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That it won't be too late. That they get to hear the gospel and they accept Jesus. That they get to know the love of God, the Advent, that they can come and look at the circle and say, I'm part of that circle. My hope and prayer for CMA Church for 2023, part of the vision is that we're making disciples that make disciples. That we're building relationships with those around us to share the love of God. And you know what? Even though we looked at Advent at Christmas, we don't have to stop looking at Advent. Because Jesus is coming again. Hope, peace, and love are all year round. Let's not stop just because Christmas holiday ends. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are so loving. You know us by the number of hairs on our head. You know how many stars are in the sky. You know the number of grain of sand. but you loved us more than those. You care about the bird. You cared about the bird. You cared about the bird, but yet you took care of that bird, but you said, I love you more than that bird. God, thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to be the propitiation for our sin, to redeem us from our sin, to be the Savior of the world, to help draw people to repentance of the bad things they do. God, I would ask that people would hear the gospel, that their hearts would be receptive, that they would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, and have you as their Heavenly Father, so that they can experience the kingdom of God forever and ever and ever. Lord God, your word does not return void. I pray that anybody who heard the scriptures today, that they will meditate on it, they will chew on it, and they will go out and they will proclaim the gospel because they're so excited, right? That they get to say that Jesus saves. Shout it out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have one more song, and then Brother John, I'm going to give you the floor.
Sing glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin is reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumphs of the skies. Nature rise and worship him, is born at Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the